Amen. So today we're going to focus on verses 13 and 14. And the theme is Christmas for God. For can have many connotations, the word for. It can be a function word to indicate the recipient of an activity. I am making dinner for my family. It can mean because of. He wept for joy. It can be a function word indicating fitness or suitability. That decision is for her to make. It can indicate duration of time or extent of space. You can walk for 100 miles. You can search for 1,000 years. The sense of for I'm interested in for us, for today, for our consideration regarding Christmas, is a function word indicating purpose. A shovel for digging holes. A word indicating an intended goal. He set out for home. What or whom is Christmas for? Don't miss the central song of the angels in our Christmas story, the real Christmas story, the story about the original. There is the message of the angel, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Christmas, it's a reason not to be afraid. God's Christmas messenger's original message, "For unto you is born a Savior. This will be a sign for you." A fallen world, we call it, the world we live in. One that has been corrupted by the human choice long ago, and human choice is constantly here today, to reject God in favor of prideful, self-centered, and self-defeating sin. So Christmas is for us, right? Yes. Yes. But in a limited way. Yes, the blessings of Christmas, the saving work of God, God come for us, God wrapped in human flesh, the way of peace opened and empowered between heaven and earth, and so here on earth, these are for us. But I would suggest that there is a higher, deeper, more significant, more valuable, more instructive, more essential goal and purpose for Christmas. What or whom is Christmas for? Us is an answer that is good and true. But there is a better answer, one without limitations. Listen again to the song of the angel chorus, the multitude of the heavenly host. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." What are we told the angels are doing? And what were they saying at the time of this first Christmas? In a word, glorifying. They were glorifying God. Praising God, saying, and we sort of imagine that they were singing, although that isn't what the text says, but I think that's a fair way of imagining it. I suppose when angels speak and we hear them, it probably sounds like singing. Glory to God in the highest. Here is the radically meaningful center. Here is the moment of deepest revelation in the Christmas story. Here is the higher and better answer for our what or whom is Christmas for question. Yes, the angels also speak of peace on earth for God's people. I see this as a beautiful expression of the glorious supernatural outworking of God's glory in the natural world created by him. There is a wondrous connection. When the one and only God of heaven is rightly glorified, earth is blessed. I like to think of music this way, now that I think about it. Music is an expression of the glory of God. And when we hear it, God is glorified. And frankly, it really doesn't matter who's doing the music. It could be the Reno Philharmonic or it could be AC/DC. I use them on purpose because their words aren't all that good. But the music, all of it, is glorious. God has made it. And we are invited to see the connection. Why is this so beautiful? Why does this quicken our hearts and bring joy to our spirits? Because there is a God. All of it is an echo of the angels' chorus, I think, and this connection. The blessing is the result. The result of God being glorified brings blessing to the earth. The blessing is the result. The purpose and the goal is God and His glory. If it were the other way around, if God were blessed by our Christmas, but we and our benefit were the goal, our Christmas text would go differently. And in the same region, there were angels hovering over a field, keeping watch over a group of shepherds by night. And a shepherd of the land jumped up, filled with human inspiration and enthusiasm, and the fullness of human glory shone from him, and the angels were filled with good humor. And the shepherd shouted to the sky, "Be happy, heaven above, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for God and heaven. For today in the city of David, and soon in cities all over the world, you, God, will find people being extra nice to each other and giving one another happy greetings and expensive gifts during this season." And suddenly, all the other shepherds jumped up, praising themselves and saying, "Glory to us down here on earth, and in heaven peace, because we are doing so well down here." Yeah, it doesn't say that, does it? Praise God. That may be Christmas, according to many, even those with a real and sincere belief in God. Church people, maybe especially church leaders, might do well. I might do well to consider if maybe this rewriting is a more accurate expression of how we operate than the original. Maybe our version actually goes more like this. The blessings of Christmas are for God. God is blessed by Christmas, the wonderful story of His miraculous arrival and divine help. But the real purpose, the ultimate goal, the bottom line is us, to benefit us. Thus, we put ourselves cleverly and subtly at the center of things. And thus we transport ourselves back to the Garden of Eden, hunting for apples, so we can be God instead of God. But, praise God, the original story, real reality, and the God of goodness and truth do not go away. What, whom is Christmas for? Ultimately, not us. Christmas is for God. It is not, essentially, a Santa Claus Christmas. A kind and magical grandpa busying himself with the production and delivery of lots of stuff for good little boys and girls like us. All about getting material rewards for me and you, record sales for retailers. The real purpose of Christmas is the glory of God. And at best, God is glorified in those things. God came to earth in the miraculous action of the incarnation for His glory. The rightful goal of Christmas is God. In Christmas, God comes to us so we may set out for God and by His help reach our ultimate goal. Christmas is for the glory of God. And I cannot overemphasize this final point. Christmas for God, rather than for us, is extremely good news. Keeping God at the center of things is simply agreeing with what is real and true. Always healthier than making up things and living by our own version. To make God's glory our purpose in everything, including our Christmas beliefs, expressions, and celebrations, is simply to accept that which is truly our rightful and life-giving purpose. And the God we rightly make our central concern and whose glory we accept as our highest aim is the Heavenly Father who has revealed himself to us, especially in Jesus, God the Son, God wrapped in flesh, God come to save, as the source and goal of all life, all goodness, all power, all glory, who works for us to heal us and make us alive in him and with him forever. The blessings of Christmas are for us from God. The purpose and goal of Christmas is glory for God, from God, and enjoyed by us. This is a Jesus Christmas. Merry Christmas by God. Merry Christmas of God. Merry Christmas under God. Merry Christmas from God to you. Merry Christmas for God. Let's pray. Lord God, once again, I give you thanks and praise for this wonderful season of the year. I thank you for the deep truth and reality that has brought this season about. It all comes from you. Thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to turn back and to remember what lay at the heart of all the lights and all the songs and all the celebrations and all the great seasonal food. Lord, help us to be truly thankful, to turn to you, and to sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest. Amen. It's time for us to pray for one another. I'd encourage you to look at your prayers and praises page in your covenant connection. I encourage you to pray for these folks who have asked for prayer. When you think of it, you can put your covenant connection on your refrigerator or your stand next to your bed or someplace where you might see it, and remember to pray. We believe in the power of prayer, mostly because we believe in the strength of the partnership that God calls us into, that he actually invites us to participate with him in his work, miraculous or otherwise, in his world for his glory. So I would encourage you to pray for folks when you're able. Right now, we're going to pray together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to intercede on behalf of those who have asked us to pray for them. Lord, again, we pray for those who are working diligently to seek and find our new pastor for our church. Lord, we pray for your blessing for them, and so your blessing for us here in your church through them. We pray for that one whom they are seeking, who may not know it yet, that you would help to prepare them for being a part of this wonderful church family and a part of the significant, wonderful work that we do together. Lord, we pray for those who've experienced various difficulties, health concerns, and other. So we lift before you Elizabeth and Brent, and for Dawn and Bob and Rachel, for those experiencing medical issues and looking ahead to an MRI. Lord, for Richard, for T and K, for Lisa, for Shirley. Lord, we pray for families who have lost loved ones, the Cowan family, the Hemsley family, the Dunlap family. We pray for our neighbors next door, once again, asking for your blessing, especially in this season. Help them to see you in the midst of it all. Pray for those serving in the military. We pray by name because some of us know some of these names. I don't think anybody here knows all of them, except we know that you know all of them. And so we lift to you Noah and Taryn, Cody, Matthew, Weston, Chase, Levi, Gary, Molly, Brian, Anna, Margaret, Benjamin, Chandler, Caleb, and Jacob. Lord, we ask that you would be with them, maybe especially in this season, if they are far away from home, feeling a little lonely. Lord, that you would fill the space for them. Hear us now as we share together in the special prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I'd invite you to stand for our close.